But we're going to get right to it. Don't forget, the blood drive is today, so they should be here. They're already out there? Okay. So know your order. Hopefully we'll be done just as they're starting, but know what where you are in the list so you don't miss. So as I've promised, I'm gonna be teaching on the book of Revelation. And it's not what you think it may be. Really prayed about how I should share it. And the first two messages are going to be an introduction to the book of Revelation so that we have a perspective and understanding. I'm not going to try and teach it by verse, but teach first, what does it mean? What are the differences out there? Is there's a lot of variations of how the book of Revelation is understood or interpreted, and I'm going to lay some groundwork for some understanding of that. But probably this will be a series of six messages or so, and when the holy days start. So this is one of those messages that is going to be a little bit more teaching, and I would encourage those to get the messages online when they're there so you can go over the information so you can be more familiar with it. I'm going to really try and share how the book of Revelation fits in with the rest of Scripture, and particularly the Hebrew Testament, because that's its basis. So, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Lord, I pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth, Lord, would only be of you. Lord, that whatever is of the flesh, it would be stricken, and whatever I've missed, that you would bring it forth. And I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So 22 plus years in Yeshua, 20 years of studying and pondering Revelation, talking about myself. But that doesn't mean that I've studied it for 20 years, but in those years, I've heard, right, many interpretations and suggestions and visions and some outright outrageous distortions. And it's very confusing, and people can be very gullible in particular about this book, because it's a book that can't really be defined the way the church wants to define it. And of course, the reason I'm starting this is that over the years, in particular recently as well, people have always asked me, you know, could you teach me about the book of Revelation? Can you teach me? Well, it's not something you just sit down and tell somebody, right? It's something that really needs to be understood in the context of the writer's heart and what the Lord reveals to John in the Hebraic mindset, not in a Greek mindset. And unfortunately, Greek mindset is all about the ethereal. It's all about what's way out there. And Judaism doesn't deal with that. It deals with the real deal. And when you translate or interpret any book, particularly Revelation, with the idea of a Greek mindset, you're going to get it wrong. I've never just focused on studying the book of Revelation. Why? Well, because there's a lot of mysteries in it that don't have answers to them. And I like to concentrate on the things that I can concentrate on, that we can walk in and know pretty assuredly that we are on the right track. And how I came about this, starting to pray, because I started praying weeks before I started to try and put a teaching to pen, because I really wanted to understand what the Lord wanted me to reveal about this particular book that has been delivered to us, because we all realize the revelation is not John's, it's Yeshua's, right? And there's a confusion just about that, right? But we need to understand that the author of the book of Revelation is Yeshua, just as the rest of the Bible is. But for some reason, we like to look at this book differently. You know, John is just repeating what Yeshua reveals to him. Amen? Through my praying and trying to figure out how I could best express what people would like to know, I realized through the Holy Spirit telling me it would be impossible to talk about the book of Revelation without embracing all of Torah. And that is the truth. So what is Torah? You know, we all probably have varying answers to that. First of all, Torah is wisdom, right? God's wisdom. And from Psalm 111, verse 10, the first and foremost point of wisdom is the fear of Adonai. All those living by it gain good common sense. His praise stands forever. You might just kind of pass over that psalm, but it's interesting that the only way that we can ever progress is that our first wisdom is the fear of God. If we don't have a fear of God, we're not going to understand the text. It's interesting that it's talking about us being humble to Torah, to the wisdom that God will fill us with if we have the right heart attitude about it. It's interesting that from our scriptures that we read from the Renewed Covenant this morning, it says it's talking about attitude. It talks about those that are of the flesh, that they don't get it. And wisdom of men has no value to us. In fact, it distracts us. So it's this scripture is really helped set us to understand how we should approach the study or the understanding of the book of Revelation. Amen. Another verse that the Lord brought to mind was Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For Adonai gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Well, it didn't refer us to a particular book outside of the Bible. It says God is the fullness of wisdom. We get that confused because we live in a culture of intellectualism, which comes from its Greek roots. That is not a Hebraic root. Because a true Hebraic root is God is all knowledge and we seek the knowledge of God through Him. That is not the culture we live in. So this, just before we even get into Revelation, we have to have some boundaries of understanding how we should look at not only Revelation, but all Scripture. From Romans 11:33, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How inscrutable are His judgments. How unsearchable are His ways. What that means is that we need to be humble when we're looking at the Lord our God in Messiah, however you're referring to Him. We need to be humble about how the perspective that He's on the very top and we're on the bottom of the feed chain when it comes to understanding. And if we allow just men to interpret for us or to walk, we're going to mostly get it wrong. That's why we have to, each of us has to be discerning and reading the Bible for ourselves. It's why I encourage you all to read Scripture all the time so that the Holy Spirit can speak to you about the Word. If you're just relying on me to teach you, you're in trouble. I am really fallible. Whoa, I think nobody said anything. That's really funny. Right? Grace. Kelly. The book of Revelation, which I would say is true in the sense of all of the canon, right? But Revelation is not only in harmony with all Scripture, but it's the key to understanding the book of Revelation. Scripture tests Scripture. Amen? But when we say that, it's flawed in our system because we only use part of the Scripture to test Scripture. The foundation of testing is the Hebrew text, not the New Covenant text. Everybody realize that? The New Covenant text can't be validated without being in harmony with the Hebrew text. The problem is in our modern culture, that isn't done very often. So it's a whole different thinking, right? We just want to rush to the New Covenant. I thank God every day, particularly when I'm studying, that though I was miserable being raised as an Orthodox youth, you know, and going to seminary and yeshiva, but when I came to be a believer, I thank God for the foundation He gave me in the Hebrew text. Because even though I wasn't sure of much, whenever people were saying, I knew what was wrong, I could say, well, that can't be right because it doesn't match the text in the Tanakh. But most of us don't have that kind of training. But the Lord will give us that training through the Holy Spirit if we're just open. When we read and study, we should be trying to hear from the Holy Spirit, not to affirm what somebody else said, but to hear the truth directly from the Lord. And we have to do that especially or particularly with the book of Revelation. From Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, this is the revelation which God gave to Yeshua, the Messiah. Not really to John, he's just presenting it, right? So that he could show his servants what must happen very soon. Of course, what must happen very soon is relative to God's timeline, not ours, right? Clearly, all the apostles from their writings, Paul in particular, expected Yeshua to show up in his lifetime again. Well, it's 2,000 years later, and the second coming hasn't happened, although we would all, I would hope, would agree that the Messiah is here with us and has been as soon as he gave the Holy Spirit to all that would receive it, right? So in that sense, the Lord is here with us. He communicated it by sending his angel to his servant Yochanan, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Yeshua, the Messiah, as much as he saw. Blessed are the reader and the hearers of the word of this prophecy. And here's the kicker. Provided they obey the things written in it, for the time is near. Okay, so with that one verse alone tells us, and I don't think it's referring just to the book of Revelation, it's talking about all the word that God has given us, but it's saying, provide they obey the things written in it, for the time is near. Well, first of all, that tells us that the book of Revelation, in many ways, is a literal walk, not just allegorical. If it's allegorical, you can't walk out allegory. It just tries to explain something that's ethereal. God has an expectation that the information that he gives us, combined with the rest of Torah, that we would walk it out. Everybody with me so far? We can't, the book of Revelation can't stand on its own. Right? Right here in the first chapter, it's telling us it can't stand on its own. The understanding is going to come from all of what God has given us. Amen? We know that too from 2 Timothy, right? Chapter 3, where it says that his word that he's given us, the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, is what we need for truth and righteousness and correction, right? And for being equipped for every good work. That didn't change just because the revelation came along. It's in context of that. But we have a difficult time with that because this is one of those books that it's generally taught outside all of Scripture. Which, I'll tell you, if you can't relate a lot of other scriptures to the book of Revelation, I can't get anything out of it. It can be very confusing. This scripture helps us understand, the scripture I'm talking about is Revelation chapter 1. This scripture helps us understand the context that we can know what Revelation reveals. So with that being said, the first part of the teaching today, and over at least through next week too as well, is an introduction. If we know that the prophecies of Revelation are tested in the framework of the Torah, the Hebrew text, it will help us understand all Scripture better, not just Revelation, and it will determine what is of the Lord and what is not. Because there's a lot of bad teachings on the book of Revelation. Lots of them. In fact, I would argue that most of the things you find online are not correct. They're just not correct. Now, that's my personal experience. I'm going to quote from Isaiah chapter 44, verse 25, and chapter 47, verse 10. I frustrate false prophets and their omens. I make fools of diviners. I drive back the sages and make their wisdom look silly. From 47:10. You were at ease in your wickedness, your thought, no one sees me. Your wisdom and knowledge perverted you as you thought to yourself, I am important and no one else. And that is pride. We live in a culture in particular of pride, especially in the religious world where people, there's a lot of pride. If you're turning on TV, most of the time you're going to find pride preaching. And I'm not coming against anybody in particular, but most of the time, what you are seeing is pride leading a teaching, which means it's going to be wrong. At the very least, it's going to be wrong in application because that person's prideful. Sometimes we can get the words right, but the application wrong. Israel, the histrionics of Israel, they know the right things, but they don't apply them right. That's what Yeshua is saying about the Pharisees. Listen to what they say, just don't do what they do. It's the same thing today in our culture. We have many so-called Christian theologians or preachers, and they're saying the right things, but do the wrong things in their application. It should be humble. And God's warning us here. He's telling us he's through Isaiah and, of course, many others. I frustrate false prophets and their omens. Let me tell you, if you're listening to any TV evangelism, it's easy to pick on them because they're on there. You can see that happening. You can see it happening. I frustrate false prophets and their omens. You know how many omens and prophecies there were this year about the full blood moons? None of it has come to pass. And I warned you all months ago, I said, don't be focused on a particular sign. It's just a sign. I'm not saying that it's not the Lord showing us, but they all made prophecies about the end of the world and Armageddon and all those things, and nothing has come of any of those things. Don't be focused on the things of men. The men pull out things. The Lord wants us to embrace all of the scripture, all of the prophecies in right order. When we don't do that, we are easily misled, right? We like to have our ears tickled, don't we? Ooh, that sounds good. It sounds so spiritual and above me. If you're in the Word by yourself and you're in it with the Holy Spirit, you probably know more than they know. And you won't make misapplication the way they do. But people want to be led, right? I compare it to how lots of people buy cars. People want to be sold a car. They don't want to deal with all this stuff. So you pay too much for it. You don't get what you want. And the payments are bigger than you thought. And all that stuff. Because we're not discerning. I love going to buy cars. Wish I had some money. I'd buy them all the time, right? Not because I like cars particularly, but I like the kill. I like getting the best possible deal under the best possible circumstances. I've helped people buy cars and jewelry. I'm good at both of them. Yeah. So there's a testimonial. So I don't believe what people tickle my ears with. Not just in the spiritual realm, but in the realm here. Everybody wants to tell you what they think they want you to hear so that you'll sign it or agree to it or whatever. The devil works the same way. The devil actually most of the time doesn't have to work very hard to suck us in, does he? When we realize we're sucked in, it's, you know, boy, we're in poor shape. Pride. Before the great fall is pride. So we need to understand these things before we even get into the book of Revelation so that we have the ability to, once we hear something that isn't right, that we will know it's not right. I'm going to help you with that as we go along today and next week for sure. One of the reasons that the Lord showed me to give an introduction is to find the wisdom we are seeking. Particularly in all the Word, but specifically also in the book of Revelation, and the wisdom we are looking to avoid, which would be false wisdom, right? The wisdom that is of the flesh. We can try and hold people accountable out there that twist the truth, but we are ultimately all accountable for the wisdom, the false things that we agree to. We are accountable for that. We can't blame some preacher and go back to him and say, I want a refund because you didn't give me the truth. Kind of gives power to a sucker's born every day, right? We have to have wisdom. And a lot of times the wisdom that is put on us is the wisdom of the flesh. When you hear all these great so-called orators, in particular on TV, they rarely quote scripture in context, rarely, but they are so dynamic and charismatic that you kind of get caught up in the moment, and we don't test the words, or people aren't testing the word. That's the flesh. Not only the flesh and the people that are distorting it, but the flesh of us that receive it. From Jeremiah 8:9, the wise are put to shame, alarmed and entrapped. They have rejected the word of Adonai, so what wisdom do they have? The kicker, the world is full of wisdom. It's not talking about God's wisdom here. It's talking about the wisdom of fools. We are surrounded by wisdom in our world, and we have a difficult time discerning the difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men, which is folly. There's nothing wrong with knowledge and school and all those things, but we need to understand that true wisdom is affirmed by the Holy Spirit and God and by His Word. We give accolades to those that have PhDs and doctorates in theology, and I know some of these people, and they know less than most of you know when it comes to the truth. I don't have a doctorate. I don't have a PhD. Which in some cases is probably a good thing. The world is full of wisdom. It's our job through the Holy Spirit to discern what is God's wisdom and what is the world's wisdom. But whose wisdom is it? With all Scripture, and including Revelation, the wisdom, we must measure Revelation's prophecies through Yeshua, right? In particular, that verse, 2 Timothy, right, 3:15 says, recalling too how from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which give you the wisdom that leads to deliverance through the trusting in Yeshua the Messiah. How do we understand the book of Revelation if we're not equipped in all of Scripture that God gave us so that we can determine what the truth is? You can't do that with just the New Covenant. It's not possible. Because the New Covenant is based on you know what the Hebrew Scriptures say. That's why you can't cut it off. You can't say all things fulfilled in Christ as meaning the sense of done with and we don't need it anymore. Because you've just cut yourself off from 2/3 of the wisdom that God has given us through His written word. And without that wisdom, there's no way we're going to understand the book of Revelation or any other book for that matter. The book of Revelation not only reveals, but affirms Torah's prophecies. The book of Revelation is not a New Covenant book in my book. It's actually a Hebraic book. It fits so nicely with the Hebrew Scriptures and the prophets. They are consistent. The Tanakh is consistent with how the book of Revelation is written. Why? The answer is so obvious. Because both of them are written from the same pool of knowledge. They're both written with the same pool of knowledge, which is God's knowledge, which is the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. They're written exactly the same way in harmony with each other. They're perfect unity if we know where to look or we know how to balance it. From 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, for the Messiah did not send me to immerse, but to proclaim the Betzorah, the good news, and to do it without relying on wisdom. Now that is an interesting piece of Scripture, isn't it? That consists of mere rhetoric as not to rob the Messiah's execution stake of power. So let's talk about that, right? Without relying on wisdom. What wisdom is it talking about? It's talking about the world's wisdom, not God's. It's warning us that if we're judging the cross and the work of Yeshua and we're doing it through the wisdom of men, we're going to get it wrong and we are going to reduce the value of Yeshua, not increase it. That's crazy Scripture. And we know which is, we're talking about the negative wisdom, because it says that consists of mere rhetoric. Rhetoric is excuses and manipulation, and it's hollow and fluffy. Verse 18, for the message about the execution stake is nonsense to those in the process of being destroyed, but to us in the process of being saved, it is the power of God. That's an interesting scripture too. Because it's talking about those that are relying on the wisdom of men are going to destroy or try to destroy the power of the cross and Yeshua's death and his resurrection. You think that doesn't seem to ring true, but I can tell you within Christianity in the world, there are many that deny the cross and the power of the cross and teach a false Messiah. So it's not just conjecture. It wasn't just a suggestion. In fact, we live in the days where the Messiah has been reduced and a false Messiah or false Messiahs have been raised up. In verse 19, indeed, the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and frustrate the intelligence of the intelligent. He's not talking about the wisdom of God, the wisdom that God gives us. He's talking about the wisdom that men have acquired on their own and distorted the truth. And he's going to use it to destroy them. If we try to operate in knowledge without the Holy Spirit, you will be destroyed. Why? Because you're a liability to the kingdom of God. These are tough words. You're in the process of being destroyed. I know that in many conversations over the years I've had with people that consider themselves scholars and they have all these degrees and stuff, and they get frustrated with me because I won't leave the text. I won't leave the text. And I'm not going to leave what the Holy Spirit shows me unless the Lord Himself shows me, because I don't have everything perfect or right? I have to change just like everybody else. But I won't leave the text. So they get frustrated. People that have human intelligence gets frustrated with the wisdom of God from those of us that are more grounded. Usually I don't even get into the deep stuff with them because they're so irritated with handling the simple stuff, they won't talk to me anymore. And what's the famous last words of somebody that's frustrated? When somebody's frustrated, we've miscommunicated something that's right, what do people say all the time? You don't understand, right? You don't understand. You don't understand me. You don't know. Whatever. Verse 20, where does that leave the philosopher? That's Greek. Philosophy is the Greek strength. That's what they poured into Scripture and interpretation of it. It is not Hebraic actions or of the Israelites. They weren't philosophical until they were conquered by the Greco-Romans, right? Just made up a new term, you Romians. Romulans. Here you go. I knew there was aliens. They're Romulans. So where does that leave the philosopher, the Torah teacher, or any of today's thinkers? So this is interesting. Hasn't God made this world's wisdom look pretty foolish? And this is interesting because he's not only talking about the Greek philosopher, he's talking about the so-called Torah teachers or the great thinkers. That's why Yeshua kept coming against the Pharisees of his day, because they were wrong about interpretation. They were wrong about application. They weren't wrong about the words themselves in general, but they were wrong in how they presented it and how they lived. And they were disingenuous about what they really were, right? They were all about pride and ego and all those things. So it's interesting. The Torah teacher, we'd all of a sudden go, whoa, the Torah teachers, they're really good and they're smart. We can listen to them. Well, I think we need to be very careful which Torah teachers we listen to. What is their wisdom based on? And what I've always said is, the problem, you're not in a community if you're not in the community. TV is not a community. Radio is not a community. You need to be able to see how people live their lives, not just what they teach you, but do they apply it? Do they live it? Because that's the testimony. There's no testimony in a TV or a radio ministry. They could be horrible people and do horrible things outside of that. There has to be accountability. I have to be accountable before you all, as well as the Lord. You need to be accountable before the Lord and before your fellow brothers and sisters. Everybody says lots of, you can tickle our ears. We've seen it in the past in this congregation. Somebody comes in, they have a lot of knowledge, and they tickle a lot of ears, and people get attracted to that, and it creates division. I have zero problem with knowledge that's balanced correctly. I love learning, as long as I'm learning the right things. Verse 21, for God's wisdom ordained that the world, using its own wisdom, would not come to know Him. Therefore, God decided to use the nonsense of what we proclaim as His means of saving those who come to trust in it. Therefore, God decided to use the nonsense, the wisdom of this world, God uses against those that lift that higher than Himself. How many people are so in love with what they perceive the Word of God to be that Yeshua comes second or third? Think about that. That the pursuit of intelligence goes far beyond your relationship with God or your fellow man. We see it all the time. As believers, as studiers, as teachers and doers of the Word, we should not only look different, but sound different, indeed be out of this world, as in comparison to it. Maybe this doesn't sound like the book of Revelation for you, but actually it is, because until we can establish our perspective of the book of Revelation, then we can't receive from it. It's not possible. Because it is a difficult book in the sense of it seems to be very different than the apostolic writings, but it's not different than the writings of the Lord throughout the context of all of the Word. So we need to be able to view ourselves in the right order so that we can receive what the book of Revelation actually calls us to. So, in the weeks to come, we will be dealing with measuring some different interpretations of the book of Revelation in particular, and give you an idea of what's out there so you can have some discernment and understanding about why things seem so confusing. So I'm going to be teaching about those the primary differences in how the book of Revelation is looked at, explain them, and also explain where I can only explain where I'm at and understanding, and then you can have an ability to start understanding where you are at or where you should be, or not even sure what you feel about the book of Revelation. And through this, we should all be praying. We pray and we hope that what I'm going to share, what I'm going to give, is what the Lord is laying on my heart to reveal to each of us, including myself, that we will receive a new understanding, but an accurate understanding to each of us in placing the book of Revelation in its proper place. Because the book of Revelation, as I said before, does not stand on its own. None of the books of the Bible really stand on their own. They all need each other. Scripture interprets Scripture. An addition that will put the book of Revelation in its proper order and place and correctly based on what the Lord wants us to know from that book. Many of the things that people focus on the book of Revelation, there is not enough information there for us to determine what it actually means. We're going to have to wait. That's where faith comes in. If somebody's telling you they know how to interpret the book of Revelation, that should be your last conversation with them. So that we will know that the coming weeks that I help us, the Lord will equip us, the Holy Spirit will equip myself and all of us, right? So that we'll know the truth in its fullest, as best to our understanding, to the limits that the Lord has placed on us for knowing his heart and mind. The Lord has revealed much to us, but there are also mysteries not revealed to us. And we need to be at peace with that. I'm not peaceful with that. I'm going to keep asking this question until I get the answer I want. That's messed up, right? I'm going to keep pursuing it until I get the answer I want. Dude, who put you in charge? Since when are you the master and not the clay? There is no faith if you think you know everything. So I'm going to reveal a little secret to you in this process. I'm going to be looking at Revelation from the perspective of the parallels to the book of Exodus and indeed a few of the prophets. Because I believe the key to the book of Revelation is the Tanakh, in particular the Exodus. From the perspective, it parallels. The Bible is full of parallel, right? The Bible is just full of parallel. There's in the new covenant, there's nothing new under the sun, right? Sun being Yeshua, sun being the light. With that being said, this book is indeed hard to interpret in its fullness when we try to determine everything it means and says. It becomes really frustrating. How many of you over the years, when people talk about the book of Revelation, you just kind of gave up on it and said, I don't want to hear about it? I mean, be honest. You walk away reading it if you don't understand much about it. You walk away frustrated, not peaceful. Everybody's looking for dragons, right? Lions and tigers and bears. You know, oh my. So what I hope in the next numerous weeks, whatever it may be, I pray that you'll enjoy the ride, that you're going to learn some things, and you're going to learn to pray and ask questions about more things, but that you will find that I can help give you a perspective that is biblically sound, not religiously sound, but biblically sound based on how it's written and where it fits with the rest of the Torah, the Word of God. One last verse before I close. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of the Messiah in all its richness live in you as you teach and counsel each other in all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude to God in your hearts." Let the Holy Spirit that dwells in us rule and balance our hunger for knowledge and discernment about the Word of God, not just for the book of Revelation, but all Scripture. And I think you will enjoy it. And I pray that when we're done, people will have a better understanding of how this book is placed and what its limitations are or what it reveals to us that can be helpful to us so that we can continue talking about it in the future. Amen.